Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
But we're going to be in Proverbs 16 today. I'm going to read it in the Amplified version. I like the Amplified version, right? It just gives us a little lesson as we read, right? Especially when reading the verses, it helps us have a little more content to it, especially if we're not going to camp out and teach verse by verse. I think it's good as we go through a Bible study. But we're going to read through it, pick out and highlight some verses, and try to talk about a few key points, especially on wisdom, right? This is considered our wisdom book, a lot of words of wisdom, usually a favorite by many. So I'm just giving another minute for a few more people to sign on, take a sip of coffee, give you guys a chance to turn to Proverbs chapter 16. And again, if you have an electronic version and you want to read along in the Amplified, or if you have the Amplified translation, you can, go ahead and grab that. If not, read along in any translation you desire. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Proverbs chapter 16. The plans and reflections of the heart belong to man, but the wise answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean and innocent in his own eyes, and he may see nothing wrong with his actions, but the Lord weighs and examines the motives and intents of the heart and knows the truth. Commit your works to the Lord, to submit and trust them to him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to his will and guidance. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose, even the wicked according to their role for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, they will not go unpunished. By mercy and loving kindness and truth, not superficial ritual, wickedness is cleansed from the heart, and by the fear of the Lord, one avoids evil. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little righteousness than great income gained with injustice. A man's mind plans his way as he sojourns through life, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. A divine decision given by God is on the lips of the king as his representative. His mouth should not be unfaithful or unjust in judgment. A just balance and honest scales are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his concern, established by his eternal principles. It is repulsive to God and man for kings to behave wickedly, for a throne is established on righteousness, which is right standing with God. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. The wrath of a king is like a messenger of death, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud bringing a spring rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. The highway of the upright turns away and departs from evil, He who guards his way protects his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who pays attention to the word of God will find good and blessed, happy, prosperous, and admired is he who trusts confidently in the Lord. The wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweet speech increases persuasive and learning in both the speaker and the listener. Understanding, just spiritual insight, is a refreshing and boundless wellspring of life to those who have it. But to give instruction and correction to fools is foolishness. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet and delightful to the soul and healing to the body. There is a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but its end is in the way of death. The appetite of a worker works for him, for his hunger urges him on. A worthless man devises and digs up evil, and the words of his lips are like scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and one who gossips separates intimate friends. A violent and exceedingly covetous man entices his neighbor to sin and leads him in a way that is not good. He who winks his eye does so to plot perverse things, and he who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. The silver-haired head is a crown of splendor and glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. He who is slow to anger is better and more honorable than the mighty soldier. And he who rules and controls his own spirit than he who captures a city. The lot is cast into the lot, but it's every decision from the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and pray before we dig into this awesome chapter. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these words of wisdom. Written and captured and passed down and preserved for us to read, for us to learn from, for us to even gain some wisdom, Lord. And thank you for not just your word, though. Thank you for your spirit and your enlightenment, to remove the veil that's around our heart and our eyes and our understanding, that we can actually read your word and have understanding, where it's not our wisdom we're able to understand, but it's through your spirit, it's through your work in us that we can read and comprehend and take delight in your word and in your wisdom. So thank you for that, Lord. Help us to dive into your word, to see what you have for us today, for your word is quick, it's powerful, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces us to our heart, to our soul. It's a discerner of our thoughts and the intents of our heart. So let it do its work. Let it pierce us where it needs to pierce us. Give us guidance where it needs to guide us. Enlightenment where it needs to be, where we need to be enlightened. So help us to dig in and to learn from these scriptures. Allow your spirit to move and to speak to us individually and to have what we need for today. Whether it's correction, whether it's encouragement, whether it's understanding, or tweaking and redefining even what wisdom is. So be with us. Give everyone here a double portion of grace today as they're waking up and they're putting you first. And as we're going to see, that's the wise thing to do. Wisdom, worldly wisdom would say, sleep in and get your rest. You're tired. Godly spiritual wisdom would say, nope, get up, prioritize God, put God first, right? The source of our life, and you'll be blessed. So bless us as we trust in that wisdom, May you be glorified in everything we do and say here today, Lord, and we love you. Amen. All right. All right. Good morning. Good morning. All right. As you saw, we got just read through chapter 16 in Proverbs. I was going to say, as I go through, if there's any verses that stuck out to you today, go ahead and pop them into the chat. And hopefully we have time. I'll go back and we can maybe expound a little bit on some of those verses, or maybe already have planned out that I will hit them anyway. All right, so I'm gonna do this today. I'm just gonna go through a few verses that I highlighted that just as I was reading the past couple of days that they stuck out to me, and I thought they were good points to reflect out. Obviously, Proverbs is, when I first became a believer, Proverbs was my favorite book, right? I needed my reading comprehension ain't good, so reading chapter after chapter and forgetting what I said. But Proverbs, it's just full of one-liners. I like one-liners. Most people like one-liners because you can read the one line, self-explanatory. Good for a memory, good to meditate on, and you can get a whole lot of meat just with one little bite, kind of like a fancy restaurant where they give you your whole meal in two bites. That's the book of Proverbs, right? You just pick out a verse or two, and that can be right digested in content without having to get, a backstory and all this stuff. So words of wisdom here. All right. But before we begin, right, I don't want to forget the I'll be jumping around, obviously, the key verse from Proverbs to help us understand wisdom. Right, Proverbs says, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is Proverbs 9:10, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Right. So before we can talk about wisdom, we got to understand its source and its foundation, right? So as we dig in, if you're missing this key piece of fearing the Lord, and not just saying a trembling like I'm so scared of God, like he's just gonna squash me, but in awe and in a reverence and an understanding of his authority and who he is, right? So yes, it's right that we would tremble before God, even when he's good, right? If you go to court, you walk go before that judge, you're gonna be a little nervous, right? Just because of the awness of his authority, right? He can cast judgment right there, lock you up, put you in contempt, whatever it would be. Right, he has the power, but even just to the degree of when a cop pulls you over, right? Like he has the power to give you a ticket, whether it will hold up in court or not, that's a different story, but he has that authority. So all authority being to God, that's a fearful thing to stand in, right? That we have no control. So fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Also, right, wisdom is not necessarily intellect or intelligence. A lot of times people would say wisdom is the application of knowledge or the know-how or to the practical things of wisdom of knowledge and action, if you will. But the scripture kind of helps us redefine wisdom, and like I said, it starts with the fear of the Lord, but it also knows that it comes from the Lord, right? He's our source of wisdom. So there's a lot of layers of wisdom. So there's a key point to, yes, wisdom would say, I'm driving down the road, someone's, I see some kids playing in, a front yard that I'm driving by. I'm gonna slow down and I'm gonna move to the left just because wisdom would say there's a chance that ball could come bouncing in the street or the kid could run. I want to give myself as much room for error as possible. That's wisdom. But then there's also a point of wisdom of knowing where to get my wisdom and knowledge from, right? So it can be, like a news station, right? We see a divide in our culture because some people choose to get their information from, a news source that has a particular agenda and desire of what they want to preach and give, and people eat that, and they're gonna be wise based on that category. And then on the other side too, then people have their other news station that gives different angles of information and seems wise, and both people are looking at each source and feeling they understood the piece and they have this wisdom that's being passed through them. And in their own eyes, they're walking in wisdom and they have it, but really godly wisdom would say, you're getting your wisdom from the wrong source, right? And ultimately God is that source of wisdom that's gonna teach us and show us what we even need to know to begin with. All right, so our source of wisdom, knowing what wisdom is, and then we're gonna break down and talk about how to walk in wisdom, right? I think that's a key piece. We all like quotes, and we all like to hear wise things, but to apply them and to walk in them is a whole different story. And I think that's one of the important things I want to camp out on within the short time we have, is how to walk in wisdom. Yeah, also how to walk in wisdom without keeping a checklist of, like, as we read these points of wisdom in Proverbs, like, oh, I got to remember this, I got to remember this, I got to remember this. I don't think that's the whole purpose of Proverbs, is to read, memorize, and to force ourselves to live out. But we can, as we live and walk in wisdom, this is a gauge to see, all right, am I on the right track or am I off? So even before you read the list of Proverbs, if you're plugged into the source of wisdom, you're going to kind of already be walking in these points. So then when you read it, yes, I agree. I agree. I can see that. I can see that. I'm walking in that. That's awesome. It's going to encourage that. I'm walking in wisdom. And then you read something and say, oh, wait a minute, this is contradicting to how I'm living. Maybe I'm not walking in wisdom, and I need to correct myself. So it's a gauge to see, are you really plugged into the source of wisdom? Because if you are, these are just going to be the fruit of your life, not a submission of, I have to beat my life into submission in order to follow these. But I'm going to be able to have the fruit of these things as I walk in relationship with the source of wisdom. All right, anyway, so my highlighted ones is right in the first one. Kind of hit already in my little introduction. The plans and reflections of the heart belong to man, but the wise answer of the tongue is from the Lord, right? Our plans and reflections, they belong to us. Like, we're constantly self speaking to ourselves, we're thinking, we're contemplating, and there are plans, even the plans that we want to live out for our life, even all our understanding. But the wise answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Right? So we have all these plans and ideas, but if our answers and if our words aren't coming from the Lord, it's not wise, right? So if you ever counseled anybody or give anybody kind of advice, the temptation is, in my mind, I want to calculate and plan everything, and I want to give them my wisdom. And I'm like, wait a minute, Jeff. If I stop and really think about what my wisdom, where it's gotten me in my life, I better hold off and not give them my wisdom. But to take that moment and say, God, I need your wisdom, right? I don't know them like you know them. I don't know what answer, what they really truly need in this time. So that would be like, as I'm hearing someone share about their career, and my job or my wisdom might just say, you know what, based on what I'm hearing and my understanding, this is what I want to say. But if I stop and sit for a moment and ask God, God, I need wisdom. What do you want me to say to them? What words can you give me to speak to them? Because you are the source of wisdom, and it's not my understanding they need, right? It's your words that they need. So wisdom is kind of getting out of your own way and allowing that source of wisdom to flow through us. So it's always, God, give me an answer. Give me an answer, Lord. All right. Another one, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Now, I think, right, I like the Amplified because it adds a little more content and depth and truth to it. Because if you just sit and tell somebody, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will succeed, man's wants to grab that and be like, oh, great. I want to be CEO of this company over here. Lord, I'm committing this to you. And when I'm making this $5 million a year, I'm going to be donating 90% of my income to you, and I'm only going to live off a million, right? I'm committing, and that's not what it means, right? Commit your works to the Lord, means as you work, right? As he says here, you're going to submit and trust in God. You're going to commit your works to the Lord, as in everything I do, God, I'm doing as unto the Lord, right? Take some New Testament references. So as I am mopping this floor, if I'm a janitor, right? I'm not just thinking about my boss is making me mop this floor, but I'm thinking about, okay, God, I'm taking this assignment as if you gave it to me, and I'm committing my actions and my work and my words, and I'm committing it to you. So whatever I'm doing, I'm going to succeed. Right, I think well, I can't think of anyway, yeah, move on. There we go. All right, verse 6. This is a good one. By mercy and loving kindness of truth, which is not superficial ritual, right? Mercy, love, kindness, and truth, wickedness is cleansed from the heart. And by the fear of the Lord, one avoids evil. That goes back to, right, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. But I really like this one. I highlighted this one in a different color because I can really relate to this one. So wickedness is cleansed from the heart. I think our ears kind of need to perk up because, right, our hearts are evil, and we need evil and wickedness cleansed from our heart. So how do we do that? By fear of the Lord, one avoids evil. And I find myself, oftentimes of with temptations and evil desires that come up that are not wise. When I have that, for me, the thing that usually puts that flame out is fear of the Lord. If the fear of the Lord isn't present, nothing, this flame just keeps going. I'm not thinking about God. I'm not thinking about discipline from God, right? Believe it or not, the Father loves us so much, he will discipline us to help us get on track, right? That's the loving thing to do. That's what parents are supposed to do, is to discipline and guide our parents, our children. And that's what the Father does. He loves us. So he wants to discipline us. And you can get into Hebrews and he talks about that. And it's a beautiful thing. So if you get chastisement or discipline from the Lord, that is a loving thing. That's why it's oftentimes when something's in our life that feels not right, we need to pause and stop. The first thing we need to ask is, okay, could this be discipline from the Lord? Right? Is there something in my life that's off that God is trying to correct me? And this is also why, this is another point in Proverbs, right? As iron sharpens iron, let a man sharpen a man. This is why it's important to be in community, because in our own ways, what it say, in a man's way, in his mind, in his heart, his way is right. So all that to say is oftentimes we're in denial and we're blind to our own faults. So if I'm analyzing myself, right, self-analyzing, I'm most likely going to miss some things. But a good friend I can trust will, usually we can see other people's faults before our own, right? So he should be able to see it and say, Jeff, yes, I can see. I think you're a little off base here. And perhaps some of these things happening in your life is because you're not fully aligned with God, and there's some things you need to repent of. And you have some selfish tendencies here. You may not see it, but you doing this behavior, it shows, right? The root of that behavior is really selfishness if you get down to it. And I could say, humble, right? You're absolutely right. I'm being selfish, or I'm not being faithful, and I can repent. But oftentimes I found people cannot do that on their own. I can't, right? I'm right in my own ways. Now, before we move on, does not mean every hard thing and bad thing that comes in our life is out of discipline, right? Sometimes it's just out of training, right? The just like gold in a fire, so is our faith. Like God is refining us, God is pressing us, He's turning us from grapes to fine wine, right? He's taking us and He's pressing out all the good, separating all the good and the bad, and he's purifying us and He's chipping away, and we need that, and that's good. So even wisdom in the right, and God, I need wisdom to discern, is this discipline and correction, or is this time to bunker down, persevere, and count my blessings and take joy and to celebrate what you're doing in me to make me more like you, right? Or whatever it be. So sometimes we just need wisdom to know that perspective. All right. Again, verse 9 kind of takes that same concept. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes him. Right? This is obviously showcasing the sovereignty of God. So wisdom would tell me, trust in God. He's sovereign. And I love this verse too, because I also found almost every like mind-blowing good thing in my life has been out of left field, meaning I didn't plan it. Like I had my plan and I'm stepping here, and all of a sudden, as I'm stepping, it's like God's boop. No, I step and land over here, and I'm like, how, what's this? Or what's this coming into my life and landing in my life, whatever it would be. It's the Lord really directing and establishing everything that happens in my life. So as I'm walking and planning it out, He establishes it. So when that sidestep happens, or that thing that you didn't plan happens, we need to stop and we need to say, okay, God, you establish every step. And because of that, I can take comfort when my plans go splat for the day. I can say, there's a reason, Lord, and I'm going to trust that you're good. I'm going to trust that you're in control. And I'm also going to trust, this doesn't mean I'm a total failure when my plans don't work out, right? I'm not the one that's supposed to be in control of my life. So if my plans need correction, perhaps a good response would be, okay, God, like help me be in line with you. Reshift, reorient my plans and my steps to be on track with what you want. So it's not a constant, a horse fighting the bit as the farmer's trying to pull. Hey, he's gonna win, but it may hurt the oxen, or as or the horse as the farmer constantly pulling or kicking him or whipping him. No, he's gonna win. It's just how pleasant is it gonna be for that animal, right? How pleasant is it gonna be for us if we're constantly fighting the Lord and he's, or to submit and to realign our steps to be with him, and it'd be just much a such a more enjoying and better time. All right, time's going quick, so let's hit a few more. Verse 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. First things first, right? He's talking about finances and money, and how we prioritize our life. And I just first thing that comes to my mind is thinking about Jesus's teaching, right? For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money, the idea of when we prioritize money as above all, it's going to be a lot of evil behind it. And it's not good. The Bible's telling us, listen, it's better to be broke and have good understanding and wisdom. The idea of it's better, there's another verse I think will come up in here too, the idea of it's better to be righteous and holy and right standing with God and poor and humble rather than to be proud and haughty and getting your finances in a non ethical kind of way, right? You always want to be pleasing to the Lord. That'd keep us. Then a real point that comes to me, I know, and I've met some people, and I think you can all relate to. Even if you don't know anyone personally, you just turn on the TV and look at these celebrities who have, I mean, millions and millions and millions and millions of like money that's just sickening. And they have no peace. Like there's nothing in their life that would be appealing. Right? They don't have wisdom. And they have no wisdom. And I wouldn't want to trade life with them for all the money in the world. Like there's non-contentment, no joy. And they're looking for this world for satisfaction and a lot of their lives are miserable. So yeah, we can see just by looking in the world that money is not the means of all things. Verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life, right? Amplified is going to say that understanding is really for a Christian spiritual insight. It's refreshing and boundless. It's a wellspring of life to those who have it. But to give instruction and correction to fools is foolishness. I like this one. I mean, understanding or spiritual insight is refreshing, is a refreshing and boundless wellspring of life. Oftentimes, that when I talk to people, and even when I analyze myself, talk to my wife, and it's me or someone else, a lot of our discontentment in life, or a lot of our issues in life of how we're responding to life, it really comes down to spiritual insight. We're just usually 99% of all our personal issues, in our conflicts and our understanding, like our personal issues, as in our frustrations and our angers and our discontentment, our unhappiness, our lack of joy. It's a lot of times it's just our spiritual insight. It's like, God, I need a new shift in perspective. Just as we already talked, right? I need a new shift in perspective to realize my plans may be wrong, right? So we need some humility. So in understanding, having spiritual insight, we need to let go of our understanding and to let go of our plans and to trust God, right? That takes spiritual insight to say, I'm gonna trust you, God, and I'm gonna let go and I'm gonna, and that trust and trade the worries over, right? Trade the fear and the anxieties, and I'm gonna choose trust, right? So there's a spiritual insight. Again, even to endure, as Paul tells us, right? Spiritual insight will allow us to take joy, right, in trials and trouble. Like, count it joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations. And like the world would say, don't count it joy when your life is going super chaotic and it blows up in your face. Like, spiritual insight will help us to have joy through those. So spiritual insight is a huge thing that we need. Again, seems to be this theme, right? I like to always pick up these themes, and this is really important. This is the third time we're seeing it already in just this chapter alone. Verse 25, There's a way which seems right to man and appears straight before him, but its end is the way of death. Like, man, we are sheep quickly and easily to go astray. Don't check yourself out of this, right? There is a way which seems right to man, to us, to humankind, and appears right straight before him. Oftentimes, our plans, our way seems right. It seems right. And this is why there's so much discord in the world. The left, they seem right in their own eyes, and you're not going to argue them. The right, they seem right in their own eyes, and there's no arguing them out. Like, there's, because man seems right to themselves. I have a tendency, Jeff, I seem right in my understanding, in my ways. My ways seem straight before me. We all have that. And that's where, again, one of the key points to wisdom is humility, to say, my ways may be wrong. And I think that's a good posture to ask ourselves. Lord, if there's anything wrong in my heart, in my mind, in my plans, in my actions, Lord, I bring them and lay them before you, and I need you to analyze them. Then I need you to reveal to me where I'm amiss, where I'm wrong, to, again, invite brothers and sisters into our community. Guys, this is my plans. This is what I'm wrestling with. These are my thoughts. Help me here. Allow God to speak through them as well. We need to be careful, because our tendency is, I'm right in my way. And that's pride. And what, right, a couple of verses before it says, pride, let's see, go right back. Pride goes before destruction in verse 18, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Right? That's the key. Pride keeps us blind. It keeps us seeing, thinking we're right all the time and our ways are right. But we're actually walking to death. Like, the path we're on is leading to destruction. It's leading to death. And it still seems right. Now, thanks to God's understanding, and he pulls us out, and we can see. And how often do, when we finally have the right perspective and we're free from that destructive path and we're walking on the narrow, we kind of sit back and we're like, we're here and we're looking. And now it's so easy to see where we used to be, and the tendency we can still go into, but we can all relate and see, like, we have people in our lives who are walking and they're on their way to death. Like, they're walking down a bridge that's out. And we try to share, like, guys, you know, by inviting to church, sharing Christ, sharing truth, sharing wisdom. And they just keep going. Because verse 22, right, to give instruction and correction to fools is foolishness. A fool is not going to take that correction. They're blind. They seem right. And no matter how, where someone's at, no matter how wise of your words you bring, if someone's prideful, that's what makes them a fool, right? They seem right. They're not going to listen to your words. There's discernment we need, and casting our pearls to the pig, right? Or they'll turn and trample us. However, in life, when I don't know if I should share certain things to people, especially when it comes to Christ and biblical things, I would rather share and be wrong than not share and be wrong. Does that make sense? So, and I think God's grace is sufficient for that. You know, I'm also in a place where I can take, if the pigs turn to trample me, I can take that, right? I'll take that kind of as joy as being crucified with the Lord, in a sense. But yeah, so I'll always try not to choose fear. Don't let fear stop me, but let discernment and wisdom from the Lord stop me. I'm okay with that. But I don't want my fear to be a reason that I don't try to share, bring life to people and or correction. Because again, people are walking straight off the edge, right to death. And it's our job to try to help God and to partner with God to stop people from leading that way. And my last one, I'm gonna end with this one. Verse 26. Time's getting away. All right. Verse 26. I love this. The appetite of a worker works for him, for his hunger urges him on. Right? If someone has a born with a silver spoon, meaning they're born, they have everything given to them and they have no need, they're probably not really going to have a good work ethic because they don't need to, right? Yet someone who's hungry, like if I don't go to work, I don't get a paycheck. If I don't get a paycheck, I can't go to the grocery store. If I don't go to the grocery store, I'm not eating. I'm starving. So the appetite, that hunger urges him on, right? That appetite. So we see that in life, in worldly wisdom, right? That makes sense. I want even to the degree if it's not so deep of hungry, you want to go on that vacation to Italy. Hey, I need to pick up some overtime. It's going to motivate me. I have a hunger or a desire that's going to move me forward to get that. Now, I think my wife and I have been reading this book like kind of over and over, and it's called Thirsting for God. The whole book is the idea is like we thirst for God. We hunger for righteousness. And we often don't realize what's happening inside. And God built us, He created us to be satisfied in Him, right? That's ultimately what we're thirsting for, is to be satisfied in God. Yet when we're not satisfied in God, not because of God, but because of our misaligned perspective or the things we're trying to be fulfilled in, we're not satisfied. So we're always kind of trying to satisfy that thirst we have. And we're using and trying to satisfy that thirst with things that don't satisfy, right? So we have an appetite. We have a righteous appetite. We have an appetite for spiritual things. We have an appetite and a thirst, ultimate desire, thirst for God. Like we're created by Him, for Him. Like that's God knows the best thing in our life is to be fully satisfied by Him. Like there's nothing more better for us than to be satisfied in God. Imagine living every step of your life, every waking moment, being 100% satisfied by God. Like your life would be that would, if I could live there all the time, that would be amazing, right? That's our ultimate desire. So we have to allow that appetite to work for us, to drive us, that when I'm thirsty, there's something I usually need to do to go get it, right? It may be prayer, it may be digging into the Word of God. It may be, a lot of things, but it's ultimately things that are pointing me and helping me to find God, to be satisfied in God, versus I'm thirsty in life and I'm just gonna check out or numb out. Because thirst, if you really think about it, even thirsty for it sucks. Like we want to satisfy it, right? There's something that needs to be satisfied and it's uncomfortable. So us in our human nature, we want to satisfy and quench it as quick and as fast as possible. So we're usually going to the easiest, most convenient, and fastest thing to satisfy us, right? I'm thirsty. Where's the closest water fountain? There's a Wawa right there. I'm hungry. I got a nice hot meal at home, but Wawa is 2 seconds away. Or, I'm hungry. I can go home and cook an hour meal that's really going to satisfy, probably be the best thing I can eat all day. Or I can stop at Wawa and get something processed and satisfy me for a moment. But it really doesn't give me all the nutrients I need. And I'm going to be hungry faster and it's going to be not as fulfilling and satisfying to me. So, we got to take that thirst and that hunger and let it work for us. Let it drive us to the true source, right? The living well, the wellspring of life, to Jesus Himself, to get in your word, to pray, and to God, I'm not turning to anything to satisfy me. I'm not taking a cheap way out. Like, I have a thirst and I have a hunger, and I'm not going anywhere until you satisfy me, until you meet that thirst or hunger. So I'm gonna leave it on that. The appetite of the worker, our appetite for redemption, right? We look at the world, we turn the news on, it's turmoil. We have a thirst and a hunger for it to be right. This is why we look forward to the glorious day that's coming, that God's going to make all things. Like, that's part of our thirst and our hunger for what we're created for, right? We're created for that perfect paradise for eternity with God, and a life without sin, a life without pain. And these are all thirsts and hungers for things that we desire. So let us urge, be a motivator for us today. So when you're feeling out of place, that's okay. That means there's a thirst there for something better, right? When you're feeling discontent, that's because you have a thirst for something better, and that's a great thing. But that better thing is God. So that thirst and that hunger is gonna be there until God satisfies it. And I don't know if he will fully satisfy it until the day of redemption, right? But he will satisfy us and feed us throughout this life, until we get to the dinner table, right? The celebration and dinner table of the Lamb, if you will. All right, so I'm gonna pray us out. This time always goes by faster than I planned. I thought it would go slow and I'd have time to read some of your comments. But 6:45, guys, gotta get to work, get your day on. Let's pray us out. Father God, we thank you for this day and this your word here, which is our breakfast, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And we have your word here that is for us to read and to digest and to fill our souls, Lord. So allow your words and your wisdom to fill us today. Help us to be in tune with our thirst and our hunger for you, as it's also often blinded. Like, we don't see it as a thirst for you. We just see that I need something. I'm not okay. But we need to pause. And why am I not okay? It's because I'm thirsting for something. I'm hungry for something. So meet that need and help us to seek you out for that thirst and hunger. Help us to trust into you to be our source of wisdom. Keep us safe through the day, and give us gracious words to those around us. We love you, Jesus. Amen. All right, guys. Have a good day. It's great seeing you all this morning.